Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day.
And good Wednesday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson here again today. The boss is away along with Brother Ed. They'll be back Trivia Friday on Friday. But we're taking care of the shop while the folks are away with me in studio. Chris Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Hello.
And Brother Ray Pritchard from Keep Believing in the city of Kansas City, Kansas.
Hey, how you doing, Fred?
Doing well, because when I got up this morning, I take a walk in the early mornings, and the temperature was 69 this morning.
Whoa.
And
in July.
Yeah.
In Tupelo.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we ought to praise the Lord every day. Rejoice the day that the Lord gave us, you know, and we're going to rejoice in it. I was double rejoicing this morning. Mm-hmm.
You know, that when you said that, I had not looked at my weather bug app here in a couple of hours. Unbelievably, it says right now in Kansas City, it's 66 degrees.
Wow.
I know. Sweater weather, people.
I'm just loving it. My wife, she's got the days counted to the first of fall, and I think she's counted to Christmas. So, we're wishing. We've had, where we live, Chris, here in the deep south, Tupelo, we've had the muggiest, hottest, like 106 temperature indexes.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of local folks say, I just love it. Bring on the heat.
I'm one of them. I will tell
Bless
you.
Your heart.
Yes. Yeah. It's been... And this is for people that have never had the privilege to visit the great state of Mississippi, and I do not say that tongue-in-cheek because it is worth a visit to come see us. This is not even hot yet. August is pretty brutal. When you go to that first high school football game on a Friday night in northeast Mississippi, you lose about 26 pounds somewhere between kickoff and, like, the first time out just from sweating.
Yeah.
It does get pretty brutal. It has been sticky. I will agree there. I do applaud your wife for you know, looking forward to fall, because we do joke here in Mississippi that fall is our greatest 2 weeks of weather, somewhere between Thanksgiving and President's Day.
So 66 in Kansas City at just after 10 o'clock in the morning.
You know, Fred, I clearly need to correct myself.
Oh.
Obviously, I cannot read.
Oh, no.
I'm having some difficulties reading here. So it was 66 about 4 hours ago. So about the time you were getting up, it's now 80 degrees.
Okay.
And heading up to 89. So I guess that's more typical for July.
I was going to say, if it's 66 in Kansas City, our good friend Jan Markell in Minnesota must be expecting snow today.
That's right.
Yeah, they have two seasons there, August 1st and winter.
And winter, that's right. All right, listen, much going on. You know, I come in the morning these days, and it's just, okay, what's happening in Washington, mm-hmm. D.C.? What is the very latest? What's really interesting, guys, is that still I'm getting from the liberal media, like the Associated Press, words like chaos to describe the Biden administration and Democrats right now. Mm-hmm. They're still referring to that debate from, what, the 27th of June as the president's dismal performance. So all of that's going on. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But, you know, down there in Florida, Mar-a-Lago, we have Donald Trump sitting there just smiling, just looking at what's going on, and just, you know, He had a great night, obviously, on the debate, but he has been watching the unfolding, ongoing controversy involving Joe Biden's performance that night and what it means for the Democrats, because Democrats held this big meeting yesterday, Chris, and some of them were coming out and saying, oh, we're standing by Biden, but others are still saying no. I mean, there's some coming out. Is it Bennett?
Yeah, Michael Bennett.
Mm-hmm. Michael Bennett is just out there saying it's time for Joe to go.
Yeah, and that's Fred's not making it up. We can play the words from the Colorado Democrat right now. This is Senator Michael Bennett talking to CNN's Caitlin Collins about Biden staying and what that means for Democrats down ballot. Clip 5.
This race is on a trajectory that is very worrisome if you care about the future of this country. Joe Biden was 9 points up at this time, the last time he was running. Hillary Clinton was 5 points up. This is the first time in more than 20 years that a Republican president has been up in this part of the campaign. Donald Trump is on track, I think, to win this election and maybe win it by a landslide and take with him the Senate and the House. And so for me, this isn't a question about polling. It's not a question about politics. It's a moral question about the future of our country. And I think it's critically important for us to come to grips with what we face if together we put this country on the path of electing Donald Trump again.
So there you have it. And he's not the only one. They're still out there. Right. So you have about three different groups within the Democratic Party, Ray. You've got the group that says we're all in for Joe Biden. You've got the other group that are kind of like Bennett. But then the third group is this group that's in between saying we're standing by Joe for now. We like Joe, that sort of thing. So not a ringing endorsement, Ray, from his party.
Look, Fred, the dam has broken, and the water is gushing through. This is a five-alarm catastrophe for the Democrat Party, because what's clear, on one hand, if we just want to set it up this way, on one hand, Joe Biden, or at least his wife, Jill, they do not want him to go, and the son, Hunter, that Joe Biden doesn't want to go. His closest advisors are saying stay in. But you have this constant, I was going to call it drip, 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 but I think it's more than that. You have, it seems like every few hours now, you have a new Democrat spokesperson, Democrat senator, Democrat congressman who's saying, Joe, it's time to go. I'm reminded back in 1974 when Richard Nixon resigned. He did not decide to resign until finally a group of Republican senators led by Barry Goldwater came to the White House and said, Mr. President, you can't win in Congress. You have to go now. And that's when he made his decision. I think something like that has got to happen, because this is a house on fire, and they aren't going to be able to put the fire out until Joe Biden says, I'm stepping down.
Yeah.
And there's word this morning, guys, and we're gonna have Sandy Rios on in about 20 minutes or so. There is word this morning, it's a front page story on Fox right now, that some of Barack Obama's people have come up with a plan that would allow Joe Biden to exit gracefully and put a brand new ticket before the convention, the Democratic convention, which is coming up in August, in about, 4.5 weeks.
Right.
We're going to talk more about that. But as I mentioned, Chris, former president, Donald Trump, had a big rally. I had to laugh at the wording of the Associated Press story. He had a big rally last night at one of his golf courses in the Miami area. And not that many people own a golf course, one of his golf courses. Thousands of people there, and obviously, Chris, he was having a good time last night.
Oh, sure, yeah, and we have a bit of audio. And by the way, do check out our Today's Issues Facebook page. I've already shared AFN coverage of the Trump speech and the rally there, as well as some of the Biden stuff we have already covered. That information is also in the links, or the comments, I should say, for this video program. But here now is a bit of Trump last night, who, interestingly enough, challenged Biden to another debate, and also a charity golf match, if that's the correct word to use sportage-wise. Clip 7.
Let's do another debate this week so that Sleepy Joe Biden can prove to everyone all over the world that he has what it takes to be president. But this time it will be man-to-man, no moderators, no holds barred. Just name the place, anytime, anywhere. And in the debate, Sleepy Joe also declared that he wanted to test his skills and stamina against mine on the golf course. Can you believe this? Did you ever see him swing? He's like this. That's why this evening I am also, and this is in honor of you and everybody here. This is 45,000 people. That's a lot of people. I'm also officially challenging Crooked Joe to an 18-hole golf match right here. I will give him 10 strokes aside, and if he wins, I will give the charity of his choice, any charity that he wants, $1 million.
So there you have it, Ray. Obviously, he's having a good time right now and smelling a bit of victory, perhaps. I'm not sure, but last night the crowd loved it.
Look, I would pay good money, Fred. I mean, good money to listen, I would buy the pay-per-view of the 18-hole match between Trump and Biden. Can you imagine the now, we know it is not going to happen, but Trump is offering him, he said, 10 strokes aside, so that means 20 strokes altogether in 18 holes, and he's still confident he can beat him. That's unbelievable.
And $1 million.
And $1 million. Oh, how I wish Joe Biden would take him up on that.
I will admit I wouldn't be able to beat either guy. I got dominated by a 13-year-old last night in Nintendo golf. So I'll withhold my I don't know the word to use here. I couldn't beat either one of them in golf.
Yeah. Well, listen, Chris, last night there were other speakers
at the
Trump rally. One of them being Senator Marco Rubio, who apparently is on former President Trump's short list for a VP pick.
Yeah, and that's been the case for a while. The two guys were the best of frenemies back in 2016. Trump mm-hmm. called him Little Marco on multiple occasions. But supposedly, Marco Rubio is on that supposed short list. Now, a lot of local politicians or elected representatives do appear at a rally that's inside their state. For example, Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin was at a Trump rally in Virginia. That led some people to believe Youngkin might be the VP pick. We'll see, or the running mate, I should say. Marco Rubio was there. They do appear to have buried the hatchet on various things. So Marco Rubio did appear last night, and he made a few comments about the current president's health and job performance, or at least the hours that he chooses to work. Clip 3.
The only conspiracy here are the people in the shadow government that are protecting and hiding from the American people the condition of our current president, and it puts our country in danger. I guess they have now admitted that from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Biden is awake and running the country. I don't want a president that's open less than our banks are open, and that's what we're facing now.
That's a pretty good line.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting that, what is it, 10 to 4?
Mm-hmm.
Someone has said that's his...
When he's open for business.
President Biden is open for business. That became a question yesterday.
It did.
In the press briefing. Very interesting, coming from Peter Ducey.
Yeah, speaking of frenemies, America's frenemies, Peter Ducey and Karine Jean-Pierre had another Q&A yesterday that made... it went viral. Peter Ducey asked Karine Jean-Pierre, look, we've all heard that he's only operating between 10 and 4. What happens, God forbid, something happens in the middle of the night like a terrorist threat? Who's going to inform the president? Is it going to be Jill? Do you have to call Jill? How does this work exactly? Listen to what Karine Jean-Pierre vaguely says in her response. Clip 1.
Well, he also said he's sharpest before 8 p.m. So say that the Pentagon at some point picks up an incoming nuke. It's 11 p.m. Who do you call? The First Lady?
He has a team that lets him know of any news that is pertinent and important to the American people. He has someone or that is decided, obviously, with his National Security Council on who gets to tell him that news.
So the team is all we know. There is a team out there that tells him these things. What made me wonder about all this, guys, was the fact that, you know, Biden has said several times, I'm going to get in trouble if I take your questions, or if I, you know, don't call on the right people, all these other things. Is this the team? Who knows? I asked Karine Jean-Pierre myself. She did not respond.
Yeah, Ray, this is another issue, and it was kind of been framed this way. This whole controversy regarding the mental state of our president is more a political issue not so much a political issue, people are saying, but it's also a national security issue. And we kind of laugh at the exchanges that are taking place in the White House right now, mm-hmm. the going back and forth. But, Ray, this is a serious matter because especially the world that we live in today, we know what's going on with China getting together with Russia, getting together with Iran, getting together with North Korea. We are living in very dangerous times. And, Ray, I'm certainly not the first to say this, but is it possible that the Putins of this world are looking at what's going on with Joe Biden? They saw that debate on the June 27th, and are they saying, the Chinese leaders, are they saying, wow, now's a good time to make our move?
Well, guaranteed, they're at least thinking about it, right? Because yeah. there is instability at the top of the American government, instability inside the White House. No one really knows. Nobody seems to know who's actually running the show there. And just a word about the press secretary. I forget her name, but
Karine Jean-Pierre.
Thank you.
Yeah.
She sound, you know, I've heard her before sound rather antagonistic in answering. But in that exchange with Peter Doocy, she sounded rather resigned and defeated, as if now the cat's out of the bag. She doesn't have a good answer for that question. And it's let's just think of a Cold War type scenario, the kind of thing that when I was growing up, we heard about this all the time. What are you going to do if, back in the old days, the USSR launches their missiles toward America? So you've got, what, 10 minutes? You've got 12 minutes, 15 minutes max, and you got to decide how you're going to respond. What if they wake Joe Biden up and he's not really awake? What if they wake him up and he's not really coherent? What if they wake him up and splashing water in his face isn't helping? What happens? What happens when the clock is ticking and the missiles are flying? And I'll tell you what, the only way I would change that little scenario is this. I'm less worried about the Russians and the Chinese than I am about terrorist groups, bad actors who have dirty bombs and things like that, because Putin knows better, I think, than to launch an all-out attack. I think the Chinese do too. But some of these terror groups, they think they've got nothing to lose. And I think they would do it in a heartbeat if they thought they could get away with it. Mm-hmm. So we are living in apocalyptic times. One other thing, and then I'll stop. During the debate, President Trump made a statement that I don't think anybody's really said much about. He said, we are at the doorstep of World War III. He just kind of threw that out. Uh-huh. And he said, people have no idea how close we are. Mm-hmm. Well, number one, what does he know that the rest of us don't know? Obviously a lot. Uh-huh. But could it be exactly this scenario that the president was talking about, that when there's instability in the White House, it invites bad actors to do terrible, catastrophic things? So it's a bad, bad situation right yeah. now.
Definitely a time that, we're told that we should pray for our leaders. Many people have mentioned that. Alex has mentioned, he's prayed for Biden. I've prayed that he makes wise and righteous decisions and not continues down the path that he's on. It's probably not a good idea, or bad idea, I should say, probably not a bad idea to also pray that he has the mental capacity to deal with the, God forbid, situations that we've already discussed there. But, one person at the White House who is trying to keep the ship afloat and tell or convince reporters and journalists that Biden is sharp is one John Kirby. And I have an example here. This is also John Kirby talking to media. And claiming that Biden is sharp and he can do the job. Don't worry about him, folks. Clip two.
The man that I see every day, including today, is in command of the facts and the context. He gets calls in the middle of the night all the time. A couple of G7s ago, Brett, you might remember, there was a missile that fell in Poland. There was a concern that it could have been a Russian missile. That call came in to him in the middle of the night. He called together the G7 at a snap meeting by 8 o'clock that morning.
Now, here's why this does not seem to hold water. You guys might have seen this. I think we've talked about it on the show. Supposedly, Biden has informed Democrats, don't do anything after 8. I need more sleep.
Mm.
And at the same time, his spokesman, if you will, is telling people, oh, he got up in the middle of the night and did his job.
Yeah. There's a little fact that John Kirby did not expose in that comment. And here's the fact. The incident that he gives of Joe Biden being alert happened in 2022.
Hmm.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
We're looking at Joe Biden today mm-hmm. in 2024. And we're seeing a man, and I mean, we're not celebrating this, folks. We're just observing like the rest of America, like the mainstream media is now admitting to, a man who his condition, his mental and physical condition, has been deteriorating mm-hmm. at, I think, at a more rapid rate in the last year and certainly in the last 6 months. Ray, the country is seeing this. And again, we're not celebrating the physical failure of our president, but what we are expressing is a concern, and it's not that, you know, we all grow old, and we begin to have health problems, but he is the president of the United States, the most difficult job there is on the planet.
So now what we have, Fred, is we've got medical professionals. Not necessarily Republican or Democrat, but just medical professionals who are openly, they're not exactly diagnosing, but they're discussing. We've got Parkinson's experts who are saying he's got all the symptoms. There was somebody yesterday who said, compared it to Lewy body dementia, mm-hmm. vascular dementia, mm-hmm. or some other sort of brain deterioration. Here's the thing. You're 81. If that's happening now, it cannot possibly get better. The condition is only going to deteriorate. So I think the Democrats are going to have to make a move. The question that's hanging in the air, if Joe Biden refuses to step down, what alternatives do the Democrats have to force him out? I don't know if they have any.
You know, I've been in broadcasting now for 22 years, which pales in comparison to how long Fred's been doing it and other guys that I have the privilege to work with. I would advise a lot of people, though, don't get your hopes up. Election day is still well over 100 days away, and a lot of mm-hmm. things can happen. We all know the media is in cahoots with the Democratic Party. They will do whatever they can to keep a man they themselves refer to or want us to believe as Hitler. And so, you know, it's 28-3 at halftime. Let's not do like the Falcons and blow the lead, talking to conservatives out there, because a lot can't happen. It does seem like it would be very difficult and uphill battle is probably not even the word to use here for Democrats to try to cram somebody out there. But there have been some rumors, and we've long discussed it. Ed's thrown this out there for seemingly as long as I've known him. Michelle Obama's going to come in at some point, perhaps. Hillary Clinton maybe even, you know, try to give it another try with Kamala Harris. We shall see. But there is a lot that can happen between now and Election Day, as we saw in 2022 when we all believed that was going to be this big red wave. And really, that was only in Florida.
You know, guys, it really comes down, and we've talked about this before. Why isn't Jill Biden, why isn't Hunter Biden, and more so Jill Biden, encouraging her husband, honey, you've done a great job.
I have an idea.
What do you have?
She enjoys being the first lady, and she feels she is.
I know that has been said, but you love your husband. I'm assuming that.
Yeah.
You see his deteriorating condition. What you want to do is help him. And the way to do that, honey, gracefully, just go out there and say, for the good of the country, I want to step aside. It is time for somebody else to come along, so we turn the page on all of this. That's what a lot of people are saying, and they cannot understand why she is not doing that. Listen, there's much more to this discussion we'll be discussing. Sandy Rios everybody knows Sandy.
Yeah.
She's going to be joining us in just a few moments, because along with this, there is the problems inside the Republican Party right now. We kind of alluded to this yesterday on the pro-life platform. Mm-hmm. There's a great deal of controversy, and it's building, folks. So we want to talk to Sandy about that also. So don't go away. Much more ahead on this Wednesday edition of Today's Issues. We'll be right back.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And indeed, welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Today's Issues. Fred Jackson, Chris Woodward, and Dr. Ray Pritchard. We're all filling in for Tim and for Ed. They're away at meetings this week. And joining us right now is our one-time great favorite in the early morning, but still out there with Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast. Sandy Rios joins us. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Fred and Ray and Chris. It's so nice to talk to you guys.
It sure is. Hey, listen, Sandy, I know you spent so many years in Washington watching the politics. You must be just amazed as the rest of us at what is happening in Washington, D.C. right now.
Well, yes, I am. It reminds me of the news when I was in radio in Chicago and I would read some crime report. And I think to myself, I've never heard anything worse than this. This horrible deed that somebody did to somebody else, that's the worst I've ever heard. That's as bad as it can get. And lo and behold, I'd read another paper and something worse would happen. And yes, that's what D.C. reminds me of. We can't even fathom how bad it has gotten and how bad, I guess, it can get in the future. It's stunning, Fred. It really is. The wheels truly are coming off the bus. But I have to say, I just got off my a meeting with people in D.C., and there are people swinging away, and there are good things happening. And so I just want to balance the reality of what D.C. really is with the fact that there are people mm-hmm. on our behalf paying a great price themselves, working really hard to stop it.
I certainly, agree with that. There's a lot going on. We have the Republican convention that's underway next week, and there's some good things and some things that we need to discuss about that. But first, I got an email from you just about a half hour ago, and it kind of goes along with the lead story right now on Fox News, and that is some Barack Obama colleagues may think they have an idea on how to resolve this problem for the Democrats. Tell us what you're seeing.
Oh, my goodness. The memo was sent a couple of days ago to me, and I was stunned. Because I've been saying all along that I feel they're going to do a last-minute replacement of Joe Biden. I've said that frequently, and I have speculated that my strong suspicion it has to be someone who has huge popularity and a huge reach that can wow people and win without having a long campaign. And I speculated Michelle Obama, and we can go into that. But this particular document was circulated again by Obama associates to Democrats, I believe, over the weekend. And it is a brilliant plan. I mean, it's a lot more than I ever envisioned. And it involves providing a way for Joe Biden to step down as a statesman, have him make an incredible speech that just blows our ears back, and then everyone surrounding him, and which in the speech in which he says he's stepping down for the good of the country, and he will get accolades like he is just like George Washington, who refused to serve more than two terms. He stepped down, and Joe Biden is just like Washington. They speculate that. And then they're going to do this truncated candidate selection process. They have fancy names for all of it that I can't recall in this moment. But so they're going to have like a very quick primary where they try to find the right candidate, and they're going to select like nine maybe, and they're going to have kind of a contest between them. And they're going to bring in a movie producer who will produce their convention, and it's going to be so good. They're going to bring the biographies of all of these and talk about how wonderful they are, you know, in soft lighting and great sound, and they are going to wow the American people by their production, and they're going to have this elimination of these candidates while they can watch it each night like a soap opera. Who's going to win? Who's going to win? And there'll be the big buildup until the last night of the convention, and this person will be nominated. And they speculate there'll be 200 million people watching the convention because of the suspension, and they're going to win. The problem is, Fred, they have to get Joe Biden to step aside.
Yes,
that's the problem.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So
it sounds like the producers of Who Shot JR, you know?
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. Well, it's what they did with the J6 hearings.
Yes.
I mean, that was produced, and that was a movie production, like a miniseries. Yeah. It had nothing to do with reality.
Hey,
I
want to open the floor to Ray in just a second, but I have to ask you.
I have a lot of words today.
Yeah, no, that's great. hey, listen, I have to ask you the question. All right, so you've built this apparent, you know, the Obama operatives are coming out with this. This is what we believe. All right, who do you think are the possible candidates for the ticket?
Well, they list, and they list actually in their document. Michelle Obama, no. See, Michelle is not one of them. She's one of the players in this docudrama, this mini series that they would produce. She would be one of the persons they would bring in. What's the artist that, I just can't even think of her name in this moment. Our little redheaded artist who's so popular with everyone right now, who's a leftist. They bring her in, Stephen Colbert. They bring all, you know, all the stars in. But as far as candidates, Kamala would be one of them. Probably some of these governors would be on the list. Gretchen Whitmer, I don't think they mentioned Michelle Obama in that list.
No.
Because they wouldn't, you see, because I think they're planning that as a surprise. That's what I think.
I was fascinated in reading this article, Ray, because they would have like people like Oprah Winfrey would have a little program. I mean, they want to, like you say, Sandy, they'd kind of Hollywood this thing like crazy and have the stars that would come out and do all of this. Go ahead, Ray.
Well, Sandy, I think... I think you were talking about Taylor Swift on the in
yes,
the list.
Yes, I was. Thank you, Ray. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, because she's on the list along with, unbelievably, Steph Curry, who plays for the Golden State Warriors. I mean, whoever thought this up has a very creative mind. So, and toward the end of it, it's actually a creative dream. It's a marketer's dream to do this, and I don't doubt you'd have hundreds of millions of people watching if it actually unfolded this way. But the guy at the end says, well, I don't think it's going to happen because, you know, Joe Biden and all of that. Do you think there's any chance, not just for this scenario, but do you see any real possibility that Joe Biden is going to willingly step down, say he's not going to run again before the Democratic convention? Is that even a possibility in your mind?
Well, yes, I think so, Ray, because for one thing, he's a sick man. And even as stubborn as he is and mean, he can't control what happens to his body. And so, yes, I think it's possible. And I also fear they'll find that sweet spot where they can promise him and his family, because, by the way, his family, of course, is firmly planted in Don't Step Down, but he's their cash cow. He makes millions for his uncle, his sister, his grandchildren, his daughter. You know, they all get money from Ukraine, China, and this is documented. This is not, I'm not just slapping this out as speculation. It's documented from the Comey hearings. Comer hearings, and so they don't want him to step down because he's making the family big money. Plus, he's bringing Jill Biden, very ambitious, still the first lady. They're clinging to this for their lives, but they cannot control. Except, I do think with drugs, they are controlling his cognizance. I don't know what drugs, but they can't control what might happen to him in the next few weeks. And if they could find, if the powers that be, the Obamas, are behind this, there's a huge rivalry. The Obamas hate the Bidens hate the Obamas. These are things that people don't know, but people in Washington know this. And Barack Obama has been behind this shadow government. Now, I'm not saying he's calling all the shots, because personally, I've never thought he was that capable. He is certainly an avowed leftist and understands all the gimmicks and the strategies and the plots, but he has a lot of help from other leftists who served him when he was president. They were the kind of the people behind the curtain for him, and they're still there. So they might, if they think of some, you know, way to make it profitable for the Biden family, if Joe steps down, maybe promise Hunter will get pardons, that Joe will get immunity for whatever it is he's done, which he's done a lot of things. I don't know. Yes, I think it's possible, Ray. I pray it doesn't happen, but I do think it's possible.
Hey, it's Chris here. Before the break, we were talking about how there's a lot of time between now and November, Election Day. You know, let's go back to 2012 for a bit. A lot of people thought there's no way Obama's going to get reelected. He's been a terrible president. His platforms are terrible. All these other things. Mitt Romney's going to beat him. Obviously, that didn't happen. We thought there was going to be a big red wave in 2022. Even people on the left, CNN, were doing stories about how, you know, it looked like it was going to be this red wave. That didn't appear to be the case. And given the fact that there is a lot of time between now and the election day, and the media is clearly on the side of the Democrats, are you concerned that... you know, conservatives might take, or right-leaning voters might take their foot off the gas, or maybe not pay as much attention to the road, so to speak, and maybe, you know, we might have history repeat itself.
Well, Chris, of course, I think we're already there. I mean, certainly in the Christian world, not AFR listeners, because thank God the news department led by Fred. Our talk shows have had tremendous impact on this country. I remember that we were ranked, I think, number three in terms of influence in the 2016 election. So we have some wonderful people listening who really do step up and do something. But there's a vast amount of Christian voters who don't vote. They don't care. They still are asleep. They're still playing golf and, you know, taking vacations. And they're just unaware. They're just unaware. American Family Radio brings information that people who listen to other Christian outlets don't hear. That's a broad generalization. But I would just say, I fear we're in the same place, the same thing. But also, Chris, I have to also say that, which I believe you would agree, there was so much voter malfeasance, and we have no idea how long this has been going on. We only really became aware of how bad it was in 2020. But I don't really believe there wasn't a red wave, personally. Mm. I think that's not true. But we have the same problems this election as we had last now in terms of securing the vote. In fact, we have now added to this the danger of this. The Biden administration is pulling out all the stops to register the illegal immigrants who have come into this country. And as we're speaking, we have 30 million illegal immigrants in this country. Now, 15 million have come across the border since Biden's been president, but they are actually actively, we know this, documented, they are going after the illegal immigrant vote in shelters and hotels in New York City. Mm-hmm. They're registering them to vote, and they're telling them who to vote for. This is a huge danger, and that's why right now in the House and Senate, well, House right now, the SAVE Act is in the works. It's bubbling up. Chip Roy and Mike Lee were the sponsors, and what the SAVE Act would do would be require proof of citizenship to vote in this country. This would be a federal law. And so it's very close to passing in the House. It's pretty much, we think, pretty certainly it will pass. Speaker Johnson's gotten behind it, thank God. The Senate, the Democrats, the progressive Democrats, and that includes all of them, the progressive, they love to call themselves that. Okay, so let's call them that. They're all about this. And they are pulling out all the stops to stop this legislation. No, we must. Illegal immigrant voting is not a problem, they would say. They say it's against the law. Well, technically it is. But the problem is our election laws, because the progressive Democrats have worked to make it so. There are no ways to prevent it. In motor voter, you're offered a voter registration, and you don't have to have a proof of citizenship, and you don't have to be a citizen to get a driver's license. That's just one thing. So I could go on and on, but they are busy setting about the business of stealing this next election too. But the people that love this country and actually believe in law and order and borders are fighting back. There are a lot of efforts right now. So my long-winded answer to you, Chris, is I do believe there was a red wave. I do believe that Joe Biden is not the duly elected president. However controversial, sorry, that's the truth. And I think we may see more of that in this election. Certainly some states have done nothing. 19 states have don't require people to be citizens of the country to vote right now. But this law, if it passes, would override that.
Yes. Called the SAVE Act, Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act. That's what it's called. And it would force people to prove their citizenship before they can vote. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. And Sandy, you've been talking about that on your podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7. Talk a little bit about your latest program on that.
Yeah, well, Cleta Mitchell, who is not a name that maybe most people recognize. Cleta is one of those personalities who's been around for decades in Washington. She's a rock star, or she's hated, one or the other, choose your side. Because Cleta's been working on the election integrity issue for all those years. She's probably, if not the nation's leading expert, certainly at the top three. And she has formed Citizens Vote Only. I can't remember. I'm in the car traveling.
Okay.
But she's got this Only Citizens Voting Coalition, I think. Mm-hmm. And she is working like crazy, and she's also inviting all Americans to get involved in the elections, watching. See what you see. If you see people registering other people to vote, you don't think they're citizens, you need to report it to your county election center, whatever county you're in. Report it, because that is actually against the law. And when you go to vote, keep your eyes open and be prepared to report something that you think is untoward. Or volunteer to be go and be a paid poll worker. Because if you're paid, you actually have some authority in the polling place. And so that's another way. We can be vigilant and have a tremendous impact progressive Democrats, and that's who they are. We could say the left, but it is progressive Democrats. They're the ones running all of this. If they know they're being watched, this is a deterrent. And so let's be vigilant and watch what's happening around us. If you see say something when you see something. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. Sandy, we only have a few minutes left. I have another question for you. There is some controversy going on right now within the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. It has to do with the platform and some changes that have been made with regards to strong statements on the life of the unborn. And there are some Christian conservatives that are very upset. They believe that the strength that has been in the party statement over the last many years mm-hmm. has been watered down to appease, they say, some on the left. So your thoughts on that?
Well, it is this is not good news. And then the news is that political operatives who are running Trump's campaign orchestrated sort of a coup on the Republican platform, which from the last several decades has been stellar. And on the issue of abortion and on the life of the baby, it has been the gold standard. Well, the political class is ashamed of that. They don't share the same passions about it, and they fancy that if they can alter the platform, it will make more people vote for the Republicans, because that's a barrier. The abortion is a barrier, and they managed to pull it off with the Republican platform this past weekend. Now, the platform, it has to be ratified by the convention, and so that's still going to be happening next week in Milwaukee, and people like Tony Perkins and other really fine people are working to tighten it up a bit. But mm-hmm. basically, it says, the language says something like, we support women. I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me, but we support women and care for women. We believe we are against late-term abortion. But it's very, very vague and does not have the philosophical deep language crafted by Phyllis Schlafly, who fought so hard to keep the platform, you know, the standard. It's more plain language where you could drive a truck through some of it. Mm-hmm. And so pro-lifers are very disappointed. Now, some pro-life leaders aren't because this is so complex, Fred. The kind of thing I wish I didn't have to explain, but I say this on my show anyway. Pro-life leaders, for the most part, who are DC-centric, have caved a long time ago. They talk a good game, but it's kind of a business for them to say they're pro-life, and when it comes to really fighting, they usually line up with the Republican establishment. So they're being conciliatory about this. I'm not so conciliatory. If I were at, had the power at the convention to fight for better language, I would do it. And I think Tony Perkins is going to be working to that end. Now, what does that mean about President Trump? Well, we heard him at the debate last week with Joe Biden saying rightly, and thank goodness, that progressive Democrats believe in abortion for all 9 months. That Joe Biden is for abortion all 9 months. Now, Joe Biden denied it, but President Trump is spot on, and I could explain that, but since in the interest of time, I won't in this minute. But he's all in for abortion for all 9 months. And so President Trump has his limits, and I actually think he's still with us. I think consultants have persuaded him to go to more political language, and he's just, he's kind of busy. He's being, charged with, so many felonies and trying to survive in his own lane that I think he's, I don't lay this at his feet. Now, he signed off on it, so I don't, I can't excuse him for that. But we have to remember, compared to the other side where they want abortion for all 9 months, he still should be our candidate. He may not be where we are. I've never said and will never say President Trump is a Christian. I've never said that. I couldn't say he's not, but he doesn't have the same convictions and passions on these issues. He has instincts that I think are really good on these issues, but he doesn't have the same passion or the same policy understanding. He's not been dealing with this for years like many of us. And so that's just the reality. We're going to be disappointed on a lot of issues. I'm certain if he gets elected, there'll be disappointments. But right, we are down to a choice. We're down to a choice of people who believe boys should be girls. There should be, transformation of sexual organs, a removal. We believe they believe in abortion for all 9 months. They don't. There's no limits. They have a. It's a wicked force that we're against. President Trump is not in that camp. He may not be what we wish he would be, but he still isn't that. And so I just would encourage people not to let them, not to think that this is a time to sit home, please. Please don't do that.
Okay. Sandy, we're almost out of time. Tell us about Sandy Rios 24/7, your podcast, and where can people get it?
Okay, let me just tell you that website for CLEDA is onlycitizens.vote.
Okay.
Onlycitizens.vote. Okay, well, Sandy Rios 24/7, you can find it on AFR.net. That's home base. But you can find it on Spotify or Apple, any of your favorite podcast platforms. You can also go to my website, sandyrios.com, and listen from there. That's really simple. But you know, we're swinging away like we always did. And also my book, God's Velvet Hammer, is available on the website. And we just brought the Audible out. It's available, of course, on Amazon through Audible. And so it's doing very, I'm humbled, Fred. I'm really humbled at the book and how it's reaching people. And it's just still there. And if people are interested and haven't read it or listened to it, it's God's Velvet Hammer.
Amen. Amen. Sandy, it doesn't surprise me that it's popular. Hey, listen, great to talk to you. And means you're in the car. Drive carefully.
Thank you. Thank you, Fred.
All right.
Yeah, we're on our way to a conference, so representing AFA as best I can.
All right, Sandy, take care. We love you. All right, Sandy Rios. Hey, listen, boy. She's got her opinions and educated opinions on so much. All right, much more ahead here on this Wednesday edition of Today's Issues. Don't go away.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.